Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome. This is Way of the Dreamer, the radio show with Robert Knox. We have a wonderful guest today. Her name is Kim Hermanson. She has a book which is in my hands with a lovely title called Deep Knowing. She promises to take us into the realm of non-ordinary intelligence, into a live, animate information field that surrounds us. And she offers to do this by encouraging us to grow and grasp the full power of imagery, to heal through metaphor, and to understand that metaphor is more than literary advice. Welcome, Kim.
Hi, thank you.
We had a little technical glitch, so let's see whether it holds true that the setback always gives us an opportunity. To introduce you a little bit without doing resume stuff, let me say that you have studied artificial intelligence and computing. You've studied and written about adult learning, including in museum environments, which fascinates me. I've been closely connected to the museum world for many, many years. Some people might say I belong in a museum, but that's a different discussion. You worked with the great Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, and you co-authored some material with him. You've also taught at Esalen, where I taught off and on for 25 years, and at Pacifica. And you lead coaching and sessions and workshops in which you help people to get more creative and open doorways. But the thing that I'd like to start with, Kim, is how your life and understanding, coming out of a conservative, Midwestern, Scandinavian family, your life and understanding were expanded tremendously by what you call shamanic initiation. I want you to talk to us about the first of them. You're 26 years old. You're in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. As I recall, you get involved in a terrible car accident, and you're lying in a hospital bed, maybe paralyzed from the waist down for the rest of your life. Tell us what happened in that terrible scene and how it flowered into something in your life.
Yeah. Let's see. So the first thing I'm going to say is that I am talking on the cell phone, and I can't hear you very well. So I hope it's okay if I plug in something.
Yeah, carry on. Let's carry on. Come on, tell us.
Okay. Let me do that. Let me do that. We're having a day of little technical things here. Just a second. We will make this work.
Okay. Hello, Kim. Do you have the chance to tell a story? Let's have it.
Yeah, so sorry about that. Okay. So, in my mid-20s, I was working as a computer scientist, and head-on collision in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan late at night, and a car crossed the center line. And so I'm in terrible pain and trauma, and I know that my back is broken. I can feel it, and I have no sensation below the waist. And so it's very traumatic. I'm in a county hospital waiting for an area ambulance to take me to the Mayo Clinic to get some surgery and metal rods put in my back. But in the waiting room, in the emergency room, a nurse came over and whispered in my ear, and she said, "Imagine that you're floating on a cloud." And so I closed my eyes and imagined myself floating on a cloud. And of course, in order to float on a cloud, our body has to be very, very light. And so I went into a place of lightness. And it's only like looking back years later that I could see the importance of that experience and how, it really shifted my body into a place of being able to heal. I mean, when we're in the right energetic alignment, our body can heal. And when we're not, you know, they say most of the illnesses in hospitals are stress related or whatever. And so I did get my back patched together with metal rods, but I was given less than 5% chance of ever walking again because my not only did I break vertebrae, but my spinal cord was displaced by 40 degrees. So I was in really bad shape, and, you know, now in my 60s, nobody would know that I ever had such an accident in my life. So that was the first one that happened, and again,
all right,
I didn't...
Let's pause you for a moment. We don't want to lose the experience. Why don't you talk to us just for a moment out of the simplicity? Just encourage us to do what the nurse encouraged you to do, and we hope we don't put our listeners to sleep, but just encourage us to float light on a cloud. Just do that. Just take
the... Okay.
Just for a moment.
So let's just close our eyes together and imagine ourselves floating on a cloud. Very light. And so some people in the audience, probably lightness is going to be an important quality for them right now. Others are working other kinds of energies, like maybe even rootedness. So that's a very different energy than lightness. But for all of you, just notice what, if there's anything in your life that resonates with lightness right now, where might you be lighter?
All right, thank you. Actually, you threw me back to a memory from physical life of going to the Georgia O'Keeffe Gallery or Museum in Santa Fe. And she painted pictures of clouds along with other things, and I always wondered what was so unusual about these pictures. As I looked at them and stayed with them, I saw what I saw again just now. I saw how the world looks if you are above the clouds looking down rather than below the clouds looking up. It was a lovely moment then, and I was glad to have it revived right now. I will, in addition to what you suggested, I will follow the practice of looking at clouds and at the earth from above the clouds rather than from below. So that already gave me something interesting. I want you to talk about two other specific experiences. I want you to talk about and explain to us why your book was written by black ooze. I'm paraphrasing you, but that's very close. Mm-hmm. You say the book really came from black ooze. Tell us what's going on with that statement and that experience.
Yeah, you know, it was a vision that I had years ago of basically it was a vision. I was in a very dark cave, and all around me were millions of dead bodies with women's bodies with their heads cut off. A very, 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 very gruesome image. And but with my work with metaphor, we become the image. And so I became all these headless bodies. And what I noticed was that, of course, I don't have a head and I can't move or anything, but what I could do was I could melt. And so I melted as all these headless bodies, and I became black ooze. And what proceeded to happen in this vision was the ooze had a tremendous amount of power, and it could go under bridges and over buildings and all through any crevices, and walls would be slammed down in front of this ooze, and it would, there was no problem with the ooze going all around it. And it was like no system of power in the world welcomed this ooze, but the ooze was way more powerful than any system of power in the world. I mean, man-made power. And the whole world was then covered with black ooze, and that's when the vision ended. And, yeah.
It's a fearsome, terrifying image, but my goodness, listening to this, here's an example of taking the power of an image and inhabiting it and letting it go where it will and creating from it. I mean, you're not an unequivocal admirer of my friend Mr. Jung, and I'm not a Jungian for that matter myself, but Jung taught us to understand that probably any image can be worked with in the direction of healing and power and resolution if you work with it. Your method of working with images is distinctly different. But this is an example through the raw terror and primal energy of the black ooze of how we can take an image that we may not like at all and let some kind of power and some kind of healing come from it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of a quote by Margaret Self. She's a Canadian writer, and she said, ultimately all the firepower that the world can muster is not capable of pushing a single crocus through the frozen winter soil, meaning, like, this is the power of the creative. And so the black ooze was actually representing the tremendous force and power of the creative, that it's, like, way more powerful than our man-made world is.
Right, and then the third experience and resulting image I'd like you to talk about at this point by way of introduction to the work is the one that gives you the phrase, the third place. And I want to talk to you about what you mean by the phrase, the third place, later on. But you call this another shamanic initiation, it seems. You don't write about it at great length, but it seems as if you feel you've been blown out of your body into a vision of beauty and terror, but then somehow you come down through a railroad tunnel with the phrase, the third place. So talk to us about that, and then I want to discuss with you what you mean by the third place, which you seem to consider very, very important.
Yeah, okay, great. And so the word third space actually came from Charles Johnston. He's a scholar of creativity. I think he's located in Oregon. Anyway, he's written a few books, and years ago when I started teaching at UC Berkeley, I started using, and I think Parker Palmer in his book, The Courage to Teach, also talk, well, Jung, of course, it's a Jungian concept as well, the third place. But he, in Parker Palmer's work, he talks about the third thing, which, you know, is the place of the metaphor. So when we have a polar, our world is polarized, right? We, you know, male, female, or black, white, whatever. And then there's this place of that bridges, that's beyond the polarization, the third space that's beyond the polarization. So what happened in that? And so I was interviewing for a teaching position at Meridian University, which is a school of depth psychology in Petaluma. You probably might be familiar with it. Anyway, I was speaking to Aftab Omar, the president, and he said, well, he looked at me kind of strange, and he said, well, rather than try to fit you into our program somewhere, why don't you tell me what you would like to teach? And the word metaphor was spoken through me. I didn't say it myself. Something was speaking through me, and he said, great, we'll call it the psychology of metaphor. And I walked out of there not knowing what I was doing, because I was going to be teaching a course for PhD students in a few weeks, and I didn't know anything about metaphor, nor psychology, of course, of metaphor. And so it was, you know, a divine plan, and books started showing up, out-of-print books that had been out-of-print for decades. The one that was most striking for me, I was sitting at a library, and I sit down at a table, and there's no books around me, and then I look up, and there's a book right in front of me. I don't know where, how it got there, but it was Symbol and Metaphor by In Human Experience by Martin Foss. It had been published in 1949, been out of print for decades, all about the power of metaphor and how it's really, he was a theologian, but it was really, it really shifted my own, my perspective. And then I also read other, had other books show up around the psychology of metaphor.
Let's pause on Martin Voss from, you're going really well, but let's pause on Martin Voss for a moment. Yeah. I had not read him, but of course I'm a bibliophile and I love to read and research, so I immediately went looking for Martin Voss. You cannot find this book. You know, you can't buy it for less than a couple hundred dollars. You can't find a PDF. I guess you could go to an academic library or order it. I have ordered his book on death and tragedy, because I also love the Greek stuff. But I was very impressed by your discovery of Martin Voss, Kim, and I'll say this to you. The shelf elves and the spirit that Arthur Kirstler called the library angel come into play when we're engaged passionately in a certain line of study and research. And sometimes, of course, they oriented towards one we haven't quite recognized yet. My whole life has been conditioned by, steered by shelf elves producing and sometimes disappearing books and material in precisely this way. So it's one of those examples of synchronicity, an active intervention, perhaps, in a life of study and work and research that gives us confirmation that the universe is with us, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was it was a really lit-up time in my life, I have to say. Just lit up. And I had, you know, I didn't know even where to begin with this. And somebody said, well, why don't you start reading about mythology? And I picked up a few things, and it just was not the right direction for this. It wanted to go in a completely different direction, and that was more toward my work. I mean, it is shamanic, but I really believe that I'm bringing another way of, I mean, not bringing it in. This is an ancient way of knowing, but it's really about another way of knowing. And so the work, for example, by George Lakoff with his Metaphors We Live By, that was really potent work for me to read as well. But yeah, it was a really amazing lit up time. And I, you know, my passion has always been how do adults learn, not in a book way, not in a, in an intellectual way, but just how does growth happen? How does evolution happen? How does social change happen? How does that, you know, how do we really grow to be who we really are? And that kind of way, what is that way of learning that's involved with that? And so my work really brings in, it's really about opening up this whole other way of knowing, the right brain, image-based, metaphor, intuitive way. And so just to complete the journey part of it, is, so I'm teaching this class of PhD students at Meridian, the Psychology of Metaphor course. And then right after the course ended, and I talked about third space in the course as the, you know, this place of resolution, the place of the creative third, the place beyond polarity. And that's when I was, after the course ended, I was yanked out of an early morning sleep and thrown up into the clouds and put on this, it was ferocious. I mean, it was ferocious. It was obviously spirit was like, it felt like yanking me around my neck. Like, you know, you are going to see this. You are going to see, just the intensity of it was unbelievable. And then I'm being, you know, pummeled through the sky and I'm going to be basically slammed against the side of this mountain. And at the very last second, I'm whisked into this train tunnel, and I, well, the vision started with me seeing this dancing, amazing energy, and then I was taken up into the sky. But anyway, so then when I was whisked into the train tunnel, I looked out of the windows, and I saw the dancing energy again, the lit up, vibrant, alive, amazing, beautiful, magical energy, and a voice said, third space, and then I was bolted awake, and so the shamanic vision directly related to my course material that I was teaching, because I was teaching about third space in the course, psychology metaphor course. So the experiences that I've had have really led me to know that this is the work, you know, obviously this is the work I'm supposed to be doing, and it is another way of knowing, and we just have these veils, we humans have these veils in front of us where we can't see that side, that lit up side, but it's right there. It's right there. It's our,
Okay. And we're talking to Kim Hermanson. We have to take a break. Her new book is called Deep Knowing. We'll be back to discuss ways in which you can enhance your own creativity and get in touch with the conscious, animate intelligence field all about you. Listen to The Way of the Dream of Robert Moss.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Moss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Moss has a deep engagement with the dream world, and now you can take a crash course from this master of the act of dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3-DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com. vistaprint.com.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products, ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
When you're looking for bedding, department store prices can shock you. Well, be shocked no more. Sell steak cheap, not cheap steak. That's the motto of Anna's Linens. Although they don't sell steak, they do sell the best bedding, bath, and home decor items. They strive to provide their merchandise at extreme value to their customers, and they do it. Great everyday prices on everything and military discounts. Plus, if you visit them online, they have clearance items and internet specials. Visit them online now at HealthyLife.net's advertiser page.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
Welcome back to Where the Dream with Robert Moss. We got through a few little bumpy technical issues at the outset, and we've got the lovely and passionate Kim Hermanson with us. She's going to tell us more about the power of metaphor and how it's about more than we might think. It's certainly more than a literary device. Although when I see that word, my mind, because I've got a sort of slightly interrupted classical education, it goes back to Ovid and the great book on metaphor, The Metamorphoses. And Ovid, depending on which translation you use, opens the Metamorphoses by saying, I sing of bodies that are transformed into other things. And Kim's very much in favor of us using the power of imagination, the power of an image, to transform, to become the fox, to become the tree, to become the atmosphere around us. And very much in favor, I gather, of helping us to find doorway, gateway images that can inspire and open out our life. So talk to us about this, Kim, and talk perhaps initially about people who have trouble finding their own images. I mean, they close their eyes, they don't see anything much. They may not have woken up to the fact that the world around them is giving them a wealth of images. They don't remember dreams. How do you help people to discover and use, I think, what you call a core image?
Yeah, my work with metaphor is very different from kind of traditional work with either dream images or, union analysis or anything like that. And it's very much about, not about story. It's about a feeling. For example, we draw in metaphor as a way of knowing whenever we're confused or we're trying to understand what's going on with us. So we might say, gosh, I feel really scattered right now, or I feel like I'm in over my head, or I feel boxed in, or I feel like I'm drowning, or I feel, lit up right now, or we walk away from a conversation and I just feel off. So it's like it's this way of knowing, this deep physical way of knowing that's very connected to our intuition. But once we go to school, we get that part of our thinking schooled out of us. And, when we're babies, we just have bodies. We don't have the fully developed language yet. So we're learning about the world in this very visceral way. We're learning what big and small is and light and gentle and strong and heavy, etc. And so it's a very ingrained, very intuitive, very deep way of knowing. And so my work with metaphor, I really de-emphasize the image a lot when I work with people, because when we put so much stress and importance on the image, we go into our heads and into our thinking. And I want people to stay in that non-cognitive place of just deep knowing. And so most people with my work, when I work with people, they get images just because my work is shamanic and I open the field and people immediately will get an image. Sometimes people get just blackness, but that's actually also an image. Nothing is actually an image. We go through times in our life, various times, when we just need to let go of everything. Definition is not what we're going through. We're not trying to define ourselves. We need to let go of everything that we've thought before. before. And so in that case, I just did a seminar over the weekend. There's one woman who's going through a time of huge change. She just let go of a teaching job that she's done for 30, 40 years, and she got blank space, and that's what she needed to get. She's not in a time of definition right now. Most people will, and so when I work with these images, I really say it's not about the image. We're not evaluating images. Castles or, you know, mountains are not better than small little rocks. We're working with creative energy, and we're just working with the primary feeling qualities that you notice that just stay super simple, look with fuzzy eyes. Don't, when an artist is drawing a field of poppies or painting something, they're not trying to, you know, say, like, well, I'm painting a chair. The chair has four legs and a back. They're not painting or drawing a chair from their thinking mind, what is a chair? And we're not looking at images that way either. We're looking with fuzzy eyes, wide eyes. You know, what is there a shape here? Is there a form here? Is the form big or small? Is the form moving? And so we stay on those very, very simple qualities. And when we stay super simple, we can go deep and we go into the field. And we feel that shift of energy.
Give us some example. Give us any, if you like, you can use me as a guinea pig. I can pretend to know nothing about any of this, but to be genuinely interested in how you could help me find an image that might do some good. So you could do it that way. You could talk to me as someone who's coming off the street and doesn't really get this, that, you know, you can expose me to it, or you could tell us stories from your practice.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so if you're, let's just come up with something. So the first image that pops into your head, doesn't matter what it is, absolutely does not matter. It could be anything, natural world or man-made world. Is there an image?
A yellow bathrobe. In fact, it's golden in color.
Okay, yellow, golden bathrobe. Okay.
Bathrobe. I can't say bath after all these years. I still have to say bath. A robe, a golden yellow robe.
Yeah, got it. Okay, so with bathrobe, we are working with something that has form, because some people might get the ocean or a river or the sky, and so that's no form. So the first thing I'm noticing when I'm working with somebody's image is whether there's form there or not. And form means definition. As humans, we're all developing a sense of who we are in the world. Like, what is, and it changes, right, over time. We have a lifetime where we're defining ourselves and saying, well, this is my path now. I'm saying no to that. This is me. And so anything, any image that has definition, that has form, is a sense of self. There's a sense of self there. Now, with a bathrobe, that has a loose form. It doesn't have a strong or stiff form. Some people might get a skyscraper. I've worked with people that get skyscrapers, and it's a very heavy line, very strong boundaries, very standing one's ground, and not, you know, and some people need that kind of energy for whatever they might be going through in their life. They need that very strong energy that cannot be pushed around. You hold your ground. But in this case, we have a nice form, and it's loose, it's gentle, there's a lightness to it. It's also, bathrobe is, you know, relatively small. You know, some people are working with even smaller images, like somebody had a saber-tooth tiger tooth over the weekend. But bathrobe has some size to it, but it's not the size of a mountain. So we're not working with something really small or something really big here. So if I was going to say the first two or three qualities that I noticed of this, and I like to keep people really, really, really super simple so that they can stay in that non-cognitive place and get the shift, I would say, well, what does kind of a gentle form mean for you right now? Does it have any, you know, there's a gentleness here with this bathrobe.
Yeah, that's relevant. I actually want to wrap myself in this robe energetically. I may actually have to get a physical robe like this. I will add, it's silky, and it's very fine. It's not stuffy and pompous, but it's probably brocade. I mean, it's a very beautiful robe. And although I call it a bathrobe, it's got that informality. It's
got a silkiness as well as a softness and the other things you said. I really want to wrap myself in. I really want to wrap myself in that energy and see where it takes me. That's the way I feel about it.
Yeah, it's, and I love, there's kind of a beautiful sort of luxuriousness as you describe it, which is lovely. I mean, that's a feeling quality, and it's coming for a reason. I mean, you could have gotten a million other images, and this is what came for you when I just said, whatever pops into your mind, you know, and the nice sort of, actually, I worked with somebody over the weekend in my seminar who got a floppy rabbit, and I asked her, you know, what does that sort of gentle floppiness mean? You know, is there a way inside yourself that you've been holding yourself a little tense? And she was like, yeah, you know, like, and so these images bring a shift of being in a very subtle and very simple way, but when we stay simple, that's when we get the shift. We have to stay simple to get the shift.
This is a sweet moment to take another pause. I'm not hearing the cues if they're coming, but let's assume it's time to take another break. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Maas, where our guest is Kim Hermanson. When we come back, we'll get her website. Her new book is Deep Knowing.
Robert Maas has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit MaasDreams.com. That's MaasDreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Maas's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you are interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@maasdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, MaasDreams.com.
Gingivitis, gum disease, words you don't want in your mouth. But according to the American Dental Association, 3 out of every 4 adults will develop gum disease. Now there's an all-natural way to fight back. Introducing the Natural Dentist Herbal Gum Therapies. Developed by a dentist and clinically tested by a leading university, the Natural Dentist Herbal Gum Therapies Daily Oral Rinse and Toothpaste was proven to kill the germs that cause gum disease better than the leading brands. Regular use was proven to reduce gingivitis and bleeding gums. The Natural Dentist contains herbs like echinacea and aloe vera and has no alcohol or sugar or harsh chemicals. The Natural Dentist is guaranteed to work or your money back. You can find the Natural Dentist at most drug and health stores, including Trader Joe's, Save-On, Walgreens, and Long's Drug Stores, as well as most health stores, including Whole Foods Markets and Wild Oats. Call 800-615-6895 or visit www.thenaturaldentist.com for more info.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Dreamer with Robert Maas. Our guest is Kim Hermanson, and you can find her at Kim Hermanson at Herman, S-O-N, KimHermanson.com. Her new book is Deep Knowing, Entering the Realm of Non-Ordinary Intelligence. And I'm looking, I opened it at random. It's well penciled, Kim. I read books pencil in hand. And I found a quote from a novelist I haven't read. But the quote is Stacey Devasmil. I haven't read her, but the quote is interesting. Quote, when we humans have more than we can bear, the gods take pity on us and change us into something else. I mean, this is really a fascinating quote. I mean, it really, you know, I lead writing retreats. I would love to give that as a writing prompt to people. Just write from that, and you would do it a different way. I'll read it one more time so everybody can get the benefit of it, and then just talk to us about why you chose this quote and what it's saying to you and what you can tell us about how we could apply it. When we humans have more than we can bear, the gods take pity on us and change us into something else. So what's going on with that in your mind?
Yeah. I mean, that gets into the shamanic part of this. I heard her interviewed on an NPR program years ago, and I loved that quote. So with my work, and you know, I think other Jungian or depth psychologists at least probably use this technique. So when something shows up, and we're working something very simple here, I tell people, very simple image. We're not taking a traditional shamanic journey where, you know, there's lots of things happening. We're staying super simple. We're opening up the field, and you're going to be met by something, by some very simple image. And we become the image, and so that's that shift of being. We become something else. So we become the river, or we become the ocean, or we become the, as I said before, the skyscraper, or whatever it is, we become it. And, you know, even, I know, over the weekend somebody got an image of fire, and it doesn't show up very often that somebody gets actual little fire. And, you know, what a potent image, and what a potent energy to hold in the world. And I said, you know, you're walking down the street and you're fire. You're walking down the street as fire. So that's that shift of being, that shift into something else. And yeah, I do believe that, you know, when we have more than we can bear, just like with my vision of the headless women in the cave and becoming black ooze, I had no power in that cave at all, but I could shift my being into black ooze, and that's what we all can do. We can all shift our being.
Now I understand why you use the word shamanic so often. In this respect, it's shamanic, but it's shamanic to me in the sense that the shaman that interests me is a poet of consciousness. So for me, it's even more poetic than shamanic. Why do I say that? Because the poet is the master of transformation through metaphor, beyond simile, beyond comparison, changing one thing into another through the power of speech. And it's there in the traditions. It's there in the Celtic tradition in particular, which is full of all those shape-shifting poems. I'm a stag of seven tines.
Yes.
I am a fire upon a lake. I am a tear the sun lets fall. That's the same principle. It's the same practice.
It's
changing
beautiful
from one
practice.
Form into another. And as you advise us, not just thinking about it, but inhabiting that form, being the box, being the fire.
Yes.
So this is really interesting stuff.
It's fascinating. And it's fascinating that our human ability to do that, isn't it? Fascinating that we actually not only can just come up with random images like that from some place, I mean, you know, who knows where the bathrobe came from or whatever, but that we can actually shift our being. It's fascinating. I mean, it's that we can be something else, and we literally can be. And when we are something else in the world changes in response to us. I mean, my body healed in response to the fact that I was light. It's fascinating. It's fascinating. And it really takes us into this whole other way of knowing, into our right hemisphere. One of the books I love, and I'm pretty sure I mentioned it in my book, Deep Knowing, is the book My Stroke of Insight by Jill Bolte Taylor.
Oh, yes.
You know, she's a neuroscientist. They're studying the brain, and she has this injury to her left hemisphere. And she only has the right hemisphere of her brain available to her. And while she's in this state of incapacitated left hemisphere, she's at one with the universe and connected to the divine. And she knows that she's connected to all things. And she's having all these extraordinary mystical experiences. Well, why is that? That's she's an ordinary human like the rest of us. And she is just lit up and connected with the divine while her thinking mind is temporarily incapacitated. I mean, it's just fascinating to me that we all have this power.
And having experience with all that clinical knowledge too, actually synchronistically, I recommended that book yesterday to someone who has had a stroke and has found herself unable to dream, she thinks, and unable to generate visual images. So a slightly different pattern, but I recommended that book for her to go to. So we've done some good reading together here, Kim, and you've given me at least one author, Martin Foss. I've looked into his history.
that I didn't know about, and I'm now going to have to check out the novelist who gave us that great quote. So, you know, I'm always willing to add to my reading list, which is immense. And speaking of that, you did some work. You did some work with Mike Csikszentmihalyi on adult learning in the museum environment. And in our last segment, which is coming up in a moment, I'd love you to talk a little bit about that. I mean, I have lived close to the museum people for a lot of my life. My wife worked for museums off and on for 30 years. And I'd just love to know what you can tell us about what you bring from that. So I think it's probably time for another pause. I'm going to risk it. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Our delightful guest is Kim Hermanson. Her new book is Deep Knowing, and we'll be back after the break.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
This is the Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Go to my website, mossdreams.com. I'm about to launch a new online course. You can actually visit me for a free online event this evening. So go to mossdreams.com. We've got Kim Hermanson with us and her new book, Deep Knowing. Kim has volunteered to guide us into the discovery, perhaps, of a doorway image, a core image. So over to you, Kim.
Okay, great. Yeah. So I would just invite the listeners to just close their eyes for a moment and settle into yourself. Just rest in. We're taking a pause here from busyness and settling in. And we'll just say hello to the whole entire field of energy here. We're not just bodies. We have an entire field of energy that's guiding and supporting us. And just let yourself go a little bit deeper into the center of the field. That doesn't make any sense because we can't see the field. So let your intuition just take you where it wants to take you, into the center. And we're going to invite a very, very, very simple image to show up that wants to be helpful to you right now. Super simple image, and it doesn't need to make any sense. We're not trying to see details. We don't need a story. Very simple image. And then just notice one or two, maybe three primary qualities form, or does it have no form? Like, the sky has no form, a mountain has form. Does it have form or no form? You might want to notice the size. Is it big or small? Does it have clear edges, or does it have fuzzy edges? Is there anything else you notice? Is it light, or is it heavy? Is it grounded, or is it free? Two or three primary qualities. And let those qualities really flood through you. They're coming for a reason. You can become this image and become those primary qualities. And that's your shift of being for today. Whether it's strength or gentle or small or big. And when I say small and big, it's not our human understanding of small and big. It's how you're holding yourself. Sometimes we need to hold ourselves smaller and so that we can connect with each other or with ourselves a little bit better. But there's no judgment on small here. And that is that. Just a short little 2-minute guided journey there.
Okay, so I suppose I or anyone listening now has an image. Is there anything you'd encourage us to do with it rather than just be with it?
Say that first part again. Did you say if they don't have
No, I said assuming that everybody now has an image, me and anybody else listening, is that it? Or we are supposed to do something with the image, or is that sufficient?
So there's two things. One is it is shamanic in the sense that we're not just sitting with an image or analyzing an image or trying to understand why this image came. We're actually being it. So it's a shift of being. And so it really is stepping into something. Like if somebody gets a tiger, or, you know, their character that they're playing in the school play is the tiger, their body would know how to be a tiger in the school play. And so you're actually being it. Whether you get a box is a great example, because a lot of times our mind will immediately analyze box and say it means I'm boxed in. It just, what does it feel like to be a box? It feels sturdy to be a box. If somebody pushes on me, they can't tip me over. I have clear edges. I have nice definition. So you're being whatever it is. If you get the ocean, you're not in the ocean, you are the ocean. It's a shift of our mind. It's a tricky place because our analytical mind can't quite understand it, but the right brain visionary part of you can. And then there's the second thing that people can do, which I find very powerful, and I usually do with all my clients and classes, is you can write into the image. So if somebody gets an image of a house, do a little writing, or you can do drawing or dancing as well, but I like to write, I am the house. I'm very, I'll just make up something. I am the house. I'm very grounded. I have a very strong sense of self. I have, my walls are very sturdy. If somebody pushes on me, I'm not going to move anywhere. I like being so centered and grounded. And so there's just a little bit of wisdom coming through there when we do that piece of writing. No matter what image you get, those metaphor qualities are coming for a reason. They're coming for
a
reason.
I stayed with your boxes, because we talked about boxes a couple of times. And it's very funny, because I live with cats. And you know, being a box, I thought, I am the most delightful environment my cats can possibly have. They can knock me over, of course. I'm not necessarily stable, but I am where they most like to play. And, of course, that, of course, is a human role in relation to a cat from a cat's point of view. So I quite enjoyed becoming a box and feeling what it's like for Reggie and Lucy to try and get inside me and play with me. That's fun. All right, very briefly, because we don't have much time, but you did work in adult learning in museums, and you worked with Mike Csikszentmihalyi on some chapters and articles about that. What can you tell us about that experience? What did you bring from your work with museum environments and learning?
Yeah, obviously Mike's work was all about flow, and so he was coming to the article that we wrote from that perspective. I was coming to that article from a perspective of learning and how can our learning be more active and alive in us, that rather than, I'd spent years and, as many people have done in academic environments that are, just dry and heavy and not lit up and not alive in me. And so I was coming from that perspective, and So the article is really about, you know, how do we make the museum experience more alive, more engaging, more something that relates to people's lives. You know, for example, you know, I know you're into story, and you've mentioned a story a couple times. Stories are one thing that light people up when we can resonate with another culture or another time in history, and hear those stories, it lights something up in us, that we have a resonance, a personal resonance to it. So, yeah, I mean, oh, 1 minute there. So, anyway, yeah.
So, what's the one liner that comes out of your museum experience?
You know, I would say engagement. I would say how can we make the article was about how to make the museum experience more engaging, and that is to connect with that personal place at the heart. You know, what can I feel? Can I feel a sense of connectedness with this sculpture or that culture or whatever? And our sense of connectedness does come from the heart. Rather than from analytics.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Kim Hermanson. We'll be back to say thank you and cherish your images. Final break, you're listening to Way of the Dreamer.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call EarthChannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
You've been listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Do hop over to MossStreams.com, my website. You'll find that I am leading online courses almost exclusively, but they're pretty interesting. We've been talking to a very interesting guest, Kim Hermanson. Her book is Deep Knowing. She cherishes the art of helping us get into flow by finding images we can work with and does in a simple and passionate way. Thank you so much for sharing your work and your play, Kim.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me. It was fun to talk to you. And, do it.
Let's all flow forward. And from now until next time, and from now until forever, may your best dreams come true, and may you remember them.